Brought to you by GMSDC Radio and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Let's Talk Small Business with your host, Stacy Key.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk Small Business. My name is Stacy Key and I'm your host. We are broadcasting live from the number one market for entrepreneurs, from the number one state for doing business, from Atlanta, Georgia. And thank you for joining us today. Let's Talk Small Business is the show dedicated to small businesses. If you're an entrepreneur, you're a small business. If you're thinking about being an entrepreneur or a small business, this is the show for you. Small business is the engine that drives the American economy, and we're talking about topics and issues that impact you. We air every Tuesday at 11:30. You want to mark your calendar so that you can plan to join us. We plan to bring you topics and to discuss issues that impact you, things that you can't find anyplace else. Today, we've got an exciting show. We have got Tiffany Bussey of the Morehouse College Entrepreneurship Center joining us. Tiffany, we are glad that you're joining us today.
Stacy, it is a pleasure, and I thank you for inviting me.
Actually, it's Dr. Tiffany Rogers Bussey who's joining us today. Is that not correct?
That's correct, and thank you.
And I've known Tiffany for a while, and you know what? I didn't know that doctor part was on there.
Yes, about a year ago. Thank you.
Oh, outstanding. Yes, 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 yes. So with that doctor, you're going to have to go ahead and tell us a little bit about the background. Tell us about the doctor. How did we get that doctor?
Well, yes, I have a doctorate in business administration about a year ago from the University, Harriet Watt University from Scotland. And
excellent.
I've been working on that for about 5 years.
Congratulations.
So, yes, thank you.
That just adds already to that impressive resume you have.
Oh, it's been a lot of work, but it's
a journey.
It's definitely a journey, and it's been proving one that has been so exciting and continue to be one that I think is of much benefit, particularly in the, of course, the academic environment that that I serve, but as it relates to business. And I intentionally chose a DBA, which is not a PhD, and it has very practical applications to businesses and small businesses, as we're going to talk about today. So I'll
excellent.
Be happy to share much more about that with you.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Well in order.
Thank you.
So the Morehouse College of Entrepreneurship Center. So tell us a little bit about the center and all that it does, because when we think of Morehouse, we traditionally think of Morehouse and the undergraduate program. A lot of people don't know that Morehouse has an entrepreneurship center.
Yes, and that's true. And we've been in existence for about 10 years. I started the center.
And you're the founding
director.
Oh,
that's correct.
That is incredible.
Thank you. And it really came about, like most, I guess, stories that you hear about small business, and it's really an entrepreneurial journey in itself. It is what we like to say a entrepreneurial shop or consulting shop within the construct of the institution. So we serve two customer sets, if you will, an external customer set, which is the revenue generating part of the center. We're self-sustaining.
Well, that's wonderful being self-sustaining.
Exactly. By doing that, we help other small businesses by providing these consulting services. And then the internal customers are our students. So, of course, in this program, we're going to talk a little bit about what we do for our external customers, which are the small businesses under the DOD Federal Mentor-Protege Program. And then our internal customers, which are our students that we provide these core curriculum development programs for. So it's an exciting thing. It has been my entrepreneurial journey, really, to start the center and to continue to grow those programmatic programs.
So let's talk about the programs that you have, like you said, DOD federal programs.
Sure.
So that's your external customer,
yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
So tell me, what programs do you have that really support the DOD federal? Because we've had a federal and state focus up to this point. We kicked it off last month with Cassius Butts, and
yes.
He talked a lot about SBA, and we talked a lot about federal, and federal is the largest procurer of products and services.
Yes.
So let's stay on that vein and talk about the DOD and the federal program.
Well, I'll be happy to. So my background is in federal procurement, and I happened to move to Atlanta about 22 years ago. And I state that to set the context, because the DOD Federal Mentor-Protege Program started about 22 years ago
oh,
with our very own Georgia Senator Sam Sam Nunn that started that program.
Sam
yes.
Nunn was, he started
yes, the
that,
father of,
he is the father of that program.
Yes, yes, he is. And when he fathered this program, really that was birthed out of the struggle of hearing these large federal contractors, the Lockheed Martins and the Boeing, often coming to Congress stating, I can't find small contractors to help support these large government contracts. And he said, you know what? Let's do something about it. Let's solve this by creating a program that allows you to mentor and help grow
Excellent.
These small
okay.
programs.
So Sam Nunn
did that.
The father of the DOD federal program.
And in addition to that, he was very smart. He said, I will put a clause in that also states that in order to help that, I will allow historical black colleges and universities to be a part of this program and to help them grow also. To do that, they become, or we become, a part of that mentoring team. So here comes Morehouse and how we have become a part of that. Under the DOD Mentor Protege Program, we are part of that mentoring team with the mentors, the IBMs, the Lockheed Martins.
Do you, your part is, are you administering the programs?
We become what you call a third-party provider. So we work with the mentors to identify the requirements that the small business will need in order to grow, and we help to provide anything that that mentor will not do in-house. We will be able to do that for them, and therein lies the consulting piece that Morehouse brings to the table.
Okay, Tiffany, this is not known. This is not known. I promise you, it is not known.
Well, I'm here to provide some more of that and of that information.
So Morehouse, as part of the DOD federal program,
yes, ma'am,
will provide the resources and the mentoring for anything the mentor can't provide.
Well, we like to say we provide as part of the team. So and we are all part of that whole inclusive mentoring team. So let me give you an example.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's say we are working as part of a mentoring team with Lockheed Martin.
Okay.
We've identified a potential protege
okay.
That we're working with. And the first thing we do, of course, is an assessment.
Assessment, yes, which is good.
And they have identified that there are three areas that they would like to grow in.
Uh-huh.
Morehouse, like any other small businesses, we have certain areas that we have developed niche areas in, if you will, in doing
okay.
that. And one of the key areas is in what we call management infrastructure development training. For example, in process improvement, that is one of our niche areas that we work in. Anything related to process improvement, such as your ISO 9000 training,
Excellent.
Your CMMI, uh-huh. process improvement suites, and things like that. So if we have identified that this is an area that your protege needs help in, Lockheed may turn to us and say, can you, Morehouse team, come to the table and help this company get ISO 9000?
Okay.
We assemble a team, which will be made of faculty when available, always students, because we use the program as an extension of our classroom with students, not only as interns, but students to actually learn the process of doing this and
Excellent.
Providing the services.
Excellent.
So win-win all around for everyone. And on top of that, we also bring in other entrepreneurs who are subject matter experts to provide the service to the small business.
And at the end result is the small business who's being mentored gets what they need.
There you go.
So you've incorporated students, you've incorporated faculty,
yes, ma'am.
You've incorporated other small businesses, but again, the small business
yes.
that's mentored gets what they need, and everybody else gets actually something they need as well.
There you go. Value added everywhere around. And remember, we're charging a fee for this.
Mm-hmm.
So Lockheed Martin then gives a PO, a purchase order, or some sort of contractual relationship to Morehouse to provide the service. Morehouse gets some revenue for doing the service. And so we're now in some sort of contractual relationship with Lockheed Martin. We're doing business.
So the
right?
fee for the service is usually paid for by the corporation.
That there you go. Who bills back the government under this
DOD
because there are several different types of agreements. There are cost reimbursable agreements, and this is the mentor's incentive of being a part of that program, which I believe, if I'm not wrong, this is the difference between the Georgia's program, right? Because in this case, they are cost reimbursable, and Georgia's program is not.
Well, the Georgia program is basically free.
Free.
Right.
Right.
And so it's based on sponsorships and so forth. Yeah. And yeah. Yeah. But so the corporations are reimbursed by the federal government under this
yes.
program.
In some, yes, there are different types, and there's definitely cost reimbursements. They're for credit reimbursement. Yes, yes.
I will tell you, and so I'm just, no, Tiffany, this is one of those unkept, this is a secret that no one knows, but we're going to make sure people know about this.
Well, I'm quite sure from your radio show now, they'll know
yeah,
about
we're gonna, it. So how does one apply to be a part of this program?
Well, of course, with the internet, they can Google the DoD Mentor Protege program. They're open just like any other procurement cycles where they apply to become, first of all, a mentor. A mentor has to be approved under the DoD Mentor Protege.
So a corporation become
an approved mentor.
So you've got to be an approved mentor is one, but the company, the small business that wants to have a mentor, how does the small business be a part of it?
They have to then seek out an approved mentor. They cannot just apply to the program.
They have to seek out an approved mentor that then agrees to
mentor
them
and bring them in under their umbrella or whatever that's there. So then you have, it kind of continues just like any other agreement that you have, you know, that whole mentoring or partnership. You got to do the dating cycle,
yes.
and you kind of go through the whole
thing. There's a
process.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then you,
yes.
And mm-hmm. then they engage yourself or, okay.
Right.
Again, this is an excellent resource because if you're interested in doing federal, and it's not just federal business because, again, Stacey Key Incorporated needs help on these three areas, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm only interested in federal business.
That's correct.
I could be interested in these business to grow my business in these areas. Federal could be a byproduct or not.
That's correct.
I could be just interested in doing business with Lockheed.
That's correct.
And so federal or not.
Yes.
Wow.
That's correct.
I will tell you it's one of those things that people don't know. And so as you've been involved with the program, what are you seeing in terms of the small businesses that are becoming a part of this program? What are you seeing in terms of what they need in terms of being mentored? What are skill sets? What are you seeing?
We see quite a bit. Process improvement, number one, usually right off the bat.
That's a sweet spot for you.
So it works out quite fine. And for several reasons, I believe that, number one, the companies, this is a great benefit for them, not only because I think that the government requires this quite often in order for them to bid on new work for business development, but it's also a very expensive process to go through. So if you get this under this program, that's a very expensive item that you're getting sort of free. Under the,
oh, absolutely.
Under the item. Yes. So
give me an example. Okay, so I get process improvement under this program. Tell me give me an example of something I would get.
Let's say you...
Or ISO. Is ISO...
Definitely.
Oh,
ISO 9000, CMMI, whatever and there's so many under the ISO suites that different, I call them flavor
so
of the month.
So a company can get ISO certified under this program?
Most definitely. Most definitely, yes. There are several different categories. You can get an accounting system. Whatever you think that your weaknesses are in terms of to help you grow and develop, that's what the program is designed to do, to help you become a better company. So there's also technology transfer. So if you have identified that, for example, cybersecurity, which is very one of the hot items now in the area.
Oh, I would suspect so.
And you say that this is the product area that I'm in, or the market area, and I would like to develop and become better in this area. In order to do that, I need to identify these areas and these people need to be developed. Then you can say, I need training programs in this area, or I need to have certain capabilities in this area. And your mentor then say, charts out a plan for you strategically and say, this is how you can grow and become in that specific area. And maybe there's a certain training plan. We need 4 people identified to get these cybersecurity certification. They send you to those classes to get certified with those certification. Maybe you need to have top secret clearance for a certain facility. You then go through the process to get that. So all those things are done or are capable of being done under the particular program, and those are the benefits that are then transferred to the protege under the program.
How long are they a part of this program?
3 years.
Oh, so you three over years. A 3 year period.
Yes.
You have the, and then after, wow.
And then after 3 years, you're what you call, you're graduated from the program, but then you can still be in the program per se, but not officially from the official period, but you're still kind of being mentored. No, the mentoring company can also decide to still keep you on because it's to their benefit. They're developing a strategic partnership with that particular protege company, and it is all on a company-by-company basis that they decide that the relationship is there. So many times they go on and they bid on certain work together, and they form various joint ventures together, and they continue the collaboration even after the three-year or sometimes before the three-year period begins. So you see so many different variations of the arrangements being done.
Wow. And so tell me, you've been there 10 years. How many companies have come through the program? What's kind of the impact? Because I'm telling
sure.
you, this is phenomenal.
Sure. So at Morehouse, it's been 10, but I've been involved with the program perhaps since its inception with various different institutions also. So at Morehouse, we've seen, I would say, maybe anywhere from about 62 to about 90 companies that we've been involved with. With our mentors, we're at any point in time, we are working with at least 13 or 15 proteges simultaneously. And these are across the country, also geographically.
Okay, so they're not, they're nationwide.
Yes, exactly.
Nationwide, because the companies are nationwide.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes. And that's a beautiful thing because you get a lot of diversity in terms of the different organizations that you're dealing with. It's beautiful in terms of the experiences for our students. I've had students that were flying to Hawaii, of course.
They've actually
loved that over Christmas break.
Oh, that's nice.
So in order to do ISO certifications, definitely.
It's nice when you can work that
exactly,
out for a student.
Exactly.
Hawaii vacation. ISO.
Yes.
Yes,
we have an assessment coming up next week in Huntsville, and two students are traveling with me to do that. Yes, of course, that's not as exciting, but it's still nice to take, you know, a business trip.
As a student, it is.
So,
it's a great resume builder. It's great for a student to get practical experience, and so that's great for the students.
Yes, most
it's a
definitely.
Win-win for everyone.
Most definitely, yes. Yes.
And so I'm in awe. And so tell us, what's an ideal candidate for the program? Is there an ideal candidate coming through the program?
I'm not quite sure. That all depends on the mentor and the protege, and you know how this works. So I know I'm making this sounds like this is just such a wonderful, beautiful thing, but there are those two that also doesn't work. So that marriage has to be just perfect to make this whole
absolutely.
Idea,
all of it.
You know, just kind of come together. The beauty for us is that we are, sometimes I used to tell folks, we're like the stepchildren. So we come along with the marriage no matter how it kind of goes, and we kind of sit back and see how the couples, the mother and the father, kind of work out, and we have to deliver the service no matter what. I think, and sometimes we kind of broker, you know, the relationships because we hear from both sides and things like that, and you love to see everyone getting out of the relationship what they're supposed to get out of it. But at the end of the day, I think that the protege must be ready to receive these services. So the protege must be mature enough, an organization. So even though you're getting all this stuff, sometimes I think that some of these organizations are not at a point where they're still growing and cannot receive everything that they're asking for. So they get in the program, they're like a kid in the candy store. Oh, you mean I can get all this? And at the same time, they still have to continue and grow their business.
Run the business day to day.
Yes. And so they're asking for ISO. They're asking for, I need my new website, and I need to send all these people to training. But yet still, you need to keep those people in contract. So how do you send everybody off to training when you need to put them on contract? So there is a dilemma. And if we show up to do some training, I need to have people in a room to train. And if everybody needs to be on contract, so, and I can't do the work for you, I could, you know, I can facilitate and I can coach, but somebody needs to be here to do the lifting at the end of the day. You still need to be able to do that. So they need to, the companies need to understand that. And sometimes I think they're so excited about the program that they agree to everything, yes, yes, yes. And then when reality hits, they're not there too. And they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that this was all involved. And, you know, and then it starts falling apart. And, you know, so, and you know the rest yeah. from there. So, yes.
Yeah, and let me ask a couple questions. To be a part of the program, strategic plan, business plan, the CEO obviously has to be engaged.
Oh, most definitely.
So you don't take any companies to be engaged in the program without a business plan or the strategic plan.
Well, you know, ultimately the decision to be in that program is really left up to the mentor. So let's be clear about that.
The mentor decides, makes those calls.
Even though some mentors may bring us in to kind of help with the evaluation, at the end of the day, it's the mentor's decision for their partner, because they're ultimately responsible.
The cost and the responsibility, yes. Relies with them.
Yes.
And so they're okay.
Yes.
So they decide. But typically you're seeing they're coming with the business plan, the strategic plan.
Yes.
The CEO is actively engaged because you're talking about a huge investment of time, of resources of a company.
Most definitely. And we ask for that commitment, especially when they embark on something like a process improvement initiative.
Oh, absolutely.
That commitment must be there. And everyone, of course, is so excited that they shake their head and say, yes, we're committed. And then when you really get down to it, what are we really talking about
when
it comes to
when
commitment?
When the rubber meets the road.
Exactly. I need you here. Really? Do you really need me?
Every single time?
Yes. Yes.
Can I send?
Yeah. No, you can't. You need to be here because it's important. You know, this can't happen without you. Yes.
What about in terms of size of companies? Are you seeing in terms of gamut? Because, when I hear the commitment, the resources, I'm thinking of a company at a minimum $10 million.
Ideally, I would say so, yes.
Okay.
And we see more successes with companies that are at least 10 to 15 million in revenue.
Okay.
I would say over 25 in numbers and employees. Now, we will also see some successes with a little less. And on average, these are average numbers I'm giving you. But phenomenal. We will also see those that are coming in, and it all depends on that CEO and the leadership of that organization that will really drive their people and have those that are really committed and take on 4 or 5 initiatives at the same time. And they do get it done. One of the first things we hear from them is, how quickly can we get this done? And we will say 18 to 24 months for an ISO effort or CMMI effort. Oh, we'd like to get it done in 8 months. And that's how we do things. And we kind of shake our head. Yes, of course, we've heard that before. You know, and you kind of get in and you start getting into the process and everything kind of pans out the way, you know, before you hear
it. It's a year, 18 months.
Exactly. Yeah. You hear we have a proposal and everybody is now... I'm sorry, but, you know, I need my staff towards a proposal. And then it's like, yes, okay, we're back to the 18 months that we talked about. Yes, okay, so, but it works itself out, yes.
And what about the mentor? How engaged is the mentor, and what are the requirements for the mentor as part of this process?
We like to still keep the mentors involved. However, we've had, and we appreciate it, there are mentors that once we become engaged, they kind of back out and kind of like,
let you
know,
do your thing.
Yes. And we appreciate that too, but I think that when you're a part of a team and you still engage with the mentor, those are the ideal situation. But they're those that have really allowed us to really do our thing and have added brought on our students, hired our students after the engagement. Also, we've had a lot of successes with those. I go back up to Washington D.C. quite often, and I see a lot of the students in those headquarters. In areas, and it's good to see those. So that's a good thing.
When you know, our economy seems to be really picking up right now,
mm-hmm.
and so the economy, does that have any impact on the program and what's going on in our economy?
Yes. So this particular program, the DOT Mentor Protege program, is always on the chopping block.
Oh,
whenever you hear Congress is in session looking at the budget, it's one of those things that is always
pet project to get chopped.
Yes.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, the word pilot was just dropped from the program. It's one of those things we used to have a joke about it and say it was the longest pilot program in a pilot phase. So it's always in jeopardy, always fighting. As recently as last year, we were asked to give letters of support for our congressional people to go and fight for the program again and things like that. But I think it's a very, very successful program. And unfortunately, it's just one of those that's always questioned. You know, they always see it as, why do you have this type of program and those types of things? And you're always defending it.
And how do you measure success? And that brings up the point.
Sure.
Of how do you measure success for a program like this?
So we lots and lots of reporting. So it is number of growth, number of new employees that these companies
new employees.
Yes. Number of revenues. So every quarter, the protégés and mentors are required to submit to DOD, and DCMA has to submit these reports to say what type of new business development is being done, how much new revenue is being brought into the company as a result of the program, where did you get started, how many employees are grown. We have the Non-Perry Award is given every year to protege companies, and they're recognized for the growth of these new companies that are brought about because of the 3 years or that's in the program. And there's several different metrics that is being evaluated, revenue being one of those, new projects being another, headcount, new growth, those types of things are being monitored on a quarterly basis, and we have to all report on numbers of those.
Okay. So if I'm a company and I'm looking to do business in the federal space, would you recommend that I search out for a mentor to be mentored first before trying to get into that? I'm trying to understand, or do I wait till I'm doing business in the federal space potentially?
I would recommend that you do business first.
Before seeking.
Yes.
Okay.
The mentoring type of activities, and I think this is an important question, could go either way. One of the things that we also notice is that there's good ways of mentoring and there's bad ways of mentoring. So a large company sometimes look at a small company and say, well, this is just a small company that maybe is a smaller version of me, and that's not the case. A small company has unique things that's unique to that particular small company, and you just got to be careful that large companies will sometimes say, well, I've been through ISO, or I've been through CMMI, here are my documentation, just globally replace my name and put that use my systems. It doesn't work like that. You have to really customize and find the things that work for your organization. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to fall into those pitfalls of when you're being mentored by a larger organization, mm-hmm. because it seems as if it's the shortcut. Mm-hmm. And you tend to want to say, well, they're successful, so if I just follow what they did, that's the roadmap. Mm-hmm. I could become like them. But that's not necessarily so. So a small business have unique things and unique challenges, and you have to find what works for you and your organization, and make sure that you're really custom fitting those things for your organization and make sure it works for you. And that's one of the things that we've really worked at Morehouse to really define and to work with the cultures of small organization, and spent the time to do the research to find out what are the uniqueness for small organizations and make sure that we understand those things and work. So even within ISO, we find ways and methodology that works best for smaller organizations, so that when you pull the resources together, we're not just doing methodologies in the same ways for large resources for big business versus small business.
Okay. Okay. As we're wrapping up, Tiffany,
sure.
What nuggets of wisdom would you like to impart on our listeners in terms of taking advantage of the mentoring program, taking advantage of the Morehouse Entrepreneurship Center? What would you like to, what would be their parting words?
That resources are out there for companies, whether you're a small business, there's lots and lots of resources available. You have to seek it out. I think that these programs are wonderful programs that can be utilized. Be smart about it. Not all mentors mentor the same way. Seek your mentor very, very carefully. Make sure that you understand who you are and what you're looking for, not because the resources are so-called free or available mean that it's the best thing for your organization at that time. So you really have to understand who you are and what your organization is all about and what it is that you're seeking out of it. Just don't jump into it because it's available. But at the same time, I would encourage any organization that is looking for additional resources in terms of growth to take advantage of these things. But make sure that you truly understand what it is that you're looking for and going in there. As far as the Morehouse Entrepreneurship Center, we're there to help, but our first customer is our students. So we provide these resources, and I'm always looking for businesses that can supplement that and, of course, extend the extension of our classroom to provide real-world experiences for our students to be a part of that and to help as we develop these future leaders of America.
I want to thank you, Dr. Tiffany Rogers-Bussey, for joining us today. The information you shared was invaluable. It was invaluable. Again, I encourage our listeners to go out to the website. Could you give us your website?
Sure. The website is www.mcecenter.com, mcecenter.com, or you could also find us off the Morehouse College website under centers. And it's always a pleasure, Stacy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
It's a pleasure. We'll have you back again because
the
information was invaluable.
Thanks.
Remember, as small business goes, so goes America. And we'll see you next week on Let's Talk Small Business.